It's Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Yawning this morning. Welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 14th of January, 2025, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Yesterday was a busy, busy news day. There's still more to talk about. Hospitals, schools hit by strike action. Government claims minimal impact. Ferguson pleased with outcome. Tribune headline now reads, no shutdown, but health crisis mode. Ferguson says strike a success, but many staff report for duty. A busy, busy day. Joining me in studio this morning is Mr. C.A. Newry. We're talking, was it a national strike? Then there was O.B. Ferguson's response in the media last night to the PM's press statement. That was very interesting. That was covered by Our News. Then in today's paper, the local elections list of, is it nominees? Anyway, local election, publication of local government election registers in today's Tribune. We talk a little local election. Carl, I see you on the line. I'm coming to you in 2 seconds. Just hold for me. But there was a story in last week's Tribune that was very interesting. Rastafarian community claims they continue to be harassed by authorities, which I thought was interesting in the face of today's Guardian. PM tells police to crack down on gangs. That's a very interesting space. Call, I ask you to give me 2 cents. Let me just open the show. Please call back. I beg your patience. I beg your patience, please. Wildfires in California and a couple other things. U.S. looks like they're about to ban TikTok on the eve of the inauguration of President Trump. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Let's see what this caller has to say this morning. Good morning, caller.
Morning. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. How are you doing?
I'm okay.
Good, good.
Okay, you hit a spark when you said yesterday there was a lot in the news to talk about, right?
Yes.
When we had the, what we are not talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Information. I mean, information that I need to know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know nobody else interested in knowing, but I know I want to know.
Okay.
When they had the handing over and ceremony of the new commissioner, right?
Okay.
Yes. They announced. Chief Superintendent Skiffins announced that. I think that was the press officer, right?
Okay.
What I don't know, and I'm only speaking for myself as the headman,
mm-hmm.
okay?
Mm-hmm.
Where is she assigned to now? Did they mention her new post, even though they neglected her and had not promoted her for whatever reason? Because she is a damn good officer. Okay?
And okay.
I think she's been doing a stellar job as a officer. Okay?
Okay.
Respected by the people of the Bahamas.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I would like to know what is her assignment and where she's been assigned to. It wasn't announced. Could you give me that information?
I don't have that information at hand. It's very interesting. As you were speaking, I was thinking, well, if she may be in the process of being assigned to a highly sensitive area in the force, in the administration, she may be being assigned to an internal investigative branch or unit, and at this time they may not want to announce that. But I really appreciate what you're saying, because there's a broader picture here in terms of the trust deficit with the citizenry.
Mm-hmm.
One of your most trusted officers,
mm-hmm.
one of your officers who's become an example, a model for other officers, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for
mm-hmm.
other press people in the press and communication
that's right.
space.
That described for mm-hmm.
right in at a time when you were appointing a female, a woman to be right the first mm-hmm. female COP. It is also important to recognize women who are also doing stellar work. It lends to your narrative that women are a vital force in the force, pun intended. And so I agree with you. We should know, unless, of course, her next assignment is so sensitive that we, the public, do not need to be aware. Right?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
I doubt that highly.
Okay.
I just don't want them to be stepping over off and playing no politics.
Ah.
Because it doesn't smell right. And we know when we say things don't smell right, what does happen, right?
Yeah. You think it's like a Highlander situation? There could only be one top female? Like, you know, we could only have one shining at the top?
It don't hardly know. When it comes to deputies, it wasn't that case, right?
There you go. They could have two. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
All right. Have a wonderful morning. Here's a text. A pleasant good morning, Aaron. With reference to the strike or whatever they have going on, I am an upset parent. Imagine yesterday I'm at work only to find out at 1 p.m. school was dismissed. Apparently the notice was posted on the school's Facebook page at 12:32. I'm working. I'm not on Facebook. Anyway, thank God for the class WhatsApp group. I found out at 1, so I left my job to pick up my son from junior high. I have a little one in primary. Here I am going for him one time because I done leave the people job at 1 without notice. Think I can leave a tree again? Long story short, went there and the security told me there are no administrators in the office to sign him out. After a while, they had to call the district to get permission for his release. Fast forward to today, nothing's posted on the Ministry of Education's page. But got a text through school group WhatsApp, 9:35 a.m., that school will be dismissed at 12 today. This is very inconvenient for parents. All right, I'm going to get to that text in a second. Thank you very much, text. Let's go to the phone line, and then I got another text that comes in next. Good morning, caller. Good morning. How are you? You still there? I am so sorry we lost you. Caller, please call back. Okay, second text. We're going to get to that text in a second. Okay, so yesterday, a very interesting discussion. I was privy to, should teachers be allowed to strike and protest? And that's a question I'm putting on the table right now. Should teachers be allowed to strike and protest? Is teaching an essential service? Are teachers essential workers, right? And so I come to you right now, caller, as I turn up the grass around the question, if teaching is an essential service, shouldn't policy and infrastructure reflect that? Right? And many of the things that text has shared, we're going to talk about in a second. I get to, is teaching an essential service? Are teachers essential workers? Should they be allowed to strike or protest? Good morning, caller. Good morning.
They don't wear them judges.
This caller, in reference to the Christian skipping recognition.
Yes, sir.
Right?
Yes, sir.
I would also like to call, call on Commissioner Shanta Knowles
mm-hmm.
to look into that situation with that King Air plane when it was busted in October 2021, and look into any recognition or accolades to Sergeant Campbell, who was very instrumental in busting that plane in Kernel in Crooked Island.
Okay. Do me a favor. Also, write this put this request in writing and submit it to the commission. Yeah.
Also, Aaron.
Yes.
You know, I mean, as a tribute to her, mm-hmm. You know the Police song?
The Police song?
Yeah, by the Police, the band The Police.
Yeah.
Every step you take.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I play that because I dedicate that to her and all of them who are supposed to be, you know, law enforcement.
Okay? All right.
Let the producer play that.
All right. I asked the producer to play it for real. Thank you very much.
Yeah, all right. Cool.
Absolutely. I appreciate the sentiment very much. Producer, let's go to the second caller. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Good morning. How you do?
I'm doing wonderful.
Good, good.
You know, you was asking the question about teachers, if they're an essential worker. I don't think they are an essential worker. They are an important worker. I don't think they should be stopped or held back if they find the need to protest. Because if you look at it, I think the question should be asked, a better question to ask is, should the government get away with holding benefits mm-hmm. from persons that are due to them and causing them to have to go into this strike mode? I think that would be a better question to ask. You know, you understand? Because that's the purpose of this. It's mm-hmm. because of the government being so lackadaisy with what was promised and what is owed to these persons, you know? Because my husband is a government worker, and they were promised from my beginning of last year that they were supposed to get some increment or something of some sort, and three times last year they were told that it was forthcoming, and it never reached.
Yeah.
You understand me? So I think a better question would be, should government get away with doing this to the workers and then try to throw everything together leading up the election as if they were doing something all along?
All right. Thank you. Thank you very much. Absolutely. So again, the question, are teachers essential workers? Is teaching an essential service? Mr. Newry, as I went to the phone line, you was looking at me like, miss, you don't even have children. How you could ask the question?
No, I wouldn't dare do that. I'd just say, if you have children, you have nieces and nephews and things and stuff. My concern is a new narrative that is being perpetrated. And I'm not sure if unionists are appreciating this narrative that the unions are in danger in the Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And those people who are part of a union need to take note that a negative narrative is being perpetrated on unions in general, that there's no longer need for such, mm-hmm. That they are obstructing progress. And you saw that narrative also when the Prime Minister issued his statement regarding this pending strike, mm-hmm. that they are anti-development, anti-democracy, anti-government, anti-Bahamas. Mm-hmm. And I'm concerned about that. Right. If I come as a collective to negotiate better benefits for me and mine, right, I don't see how that's a problem. And the only thing I have to trade, to bargain with, use as a bargaining tool, is my resources of labor. Mm-hmm. So I can either withhold my resources of labor or I can put my labor through. So you just tell me that I cannot demonstrate at all. I cannot show my grievances and say, well, I'm not satisfied with this. It's problematic for the Bahamas in the future, right? Especially with a political party that came into power based on union and unionism. The idea that they've hired so many former unionists to be ministers, right, to perpetrate that narrative that unions are problematic inside this Bahamas, behemoths need to stand and say, no, you're going too far with this narrative, right? We can negotiate better with unions. Unions perhaps need to negotiate better demand things, mm-hmm. but not demean them and lobby for them to be dismantled altogether. And now I've seen there's a public rift between unionists. I see Wilson,
Belinda
Wilson issued some statement anti-OB Ferguson Emmanuel. Our settlements might be factual and there's a need for it. But in a temperament or in a time when people are trying to shut down unions altogether, where businesses say, man, we don't want no unions here, where we've had cases where the union has been expelled mm-hmm. off of properties, where unionists are not allowed to go on properties, right? In a temperament in a society of that, you can't be arguing publicly no more. Well, your whole
okay.
movement is that in danger.
Carl, I'm coming to you in 2 seconds. You can't be arguing publicly. That's the sticking point. Yeah. I think that we can bring conflict to the public domain in a way that is not negative or detrimental to the broader labor movement. But I think given the current political culture, it's impossible for any entity to bring a conflict to the public domain in a reasonable, rational way. We will get back. Remember the debate that I shared about the constitutional provisions around Prime Minister.
And let me quickly say, because I know you're going to call out, it reminds me of what the chairman of the Progressive Liberal Party said. It, at this present time, you cannot be rowing publicly. We all have one. You could disagree, but it's how you disagree.
Right, because there's a difference between yes. harmony and unity.
Yes.
Good morning, caller, and thank you for your patience. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Yeah, hello.
Hi, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Nguyen, Ms. Green.
Hi. How you doing?
Yeah, you know, it was a number of things that is so upsetting for me. I mean, you know, the lady, Ms. Johnson, she makes great contribution, but her statement was very subjective in that, you know, you could be a liaison officer, right? But if the truth is not coming out of your mouth or you're gullible and just repeating narratives, when you're told statements from officers, let's take, for instance, the Azario Major. You had a senior cop came on and just repeated what he was told. So, I mean, I look at all these, and that's chronologically of all the BS that they're feeding us, right? And so let's look at the PM statements about gangs. Whatever, I can't remember the verbatim, but I heard that the PM made a statement to crack down on gangs, et cetera, et cetera. But the problem of migration was not started by the PM. But when we look at what he did inside the shantytown communities and the fact that migration is causing this country problems because people don't see the abundant a number of migrants in the inner city. And so when we look at how they fill up our schools, our hospitals, and so behemoths are being denied. So how can then you try to find a solution when, I mean, how can you have a solution when you're allowing unabated migration when it actually tells,
52.
It actually tells on the country financially.
52, I wanna stick a pin to turn the argument, right?
But
is migration,
I'm not saying anything against integration.
No. Exactly.
Unabatedly.
I know, but here's what it's the unabatedly part right there, right? Is migration the problem if other countries similar to us in terms of small island developing state or post-colonial, right? Whatever the oppressing system was, post-colonial system, or like a Singapore, right? How is it that if other countries are able to use migration and turn it into the solution, is the problem an administrative crisis that allows, enables, or requires an unabated migration to suit their narrative or their dynamic?
Yes. But
I got you.
It's
the unabated part. Yeah, man. Go on.
Yeah, but Aaron, I want to forget about that because we all could be in denial. I'm living in the inner city. I'm seeing it. Okay, but I just want to touch on why I said that. All right, let's look at it. Let's say Dwight always talking about local government, but let me relate quickly to the school situation. But I down with the government workers. I down with labor because I look at the unabated and uncontrolled spending by government. And as a taxpayer, you know, I feel let down. You know, I spending money, man, and I paying taxes on everything, billing with everything. Okay,
mm-hmm.
And you're not getting nothing in return.
Mm-hmm.
And so. And so even as we look at the new, let's jump now to the new implementation or the new installment of the new female commissioner. They said that she has 33 years on the force. And Ms. Kristen Skip is all these people. I've never heard them have any counter narrative against the police force itself. So I can't respect that. You have to be real with the people. And so when we look at the new commissioner, let's look at the new innovations or implementations that she wants to implement. And so I have heard about what the pain and suffering that I have suffered. I've been dead. You know, the things that they do to you while you're in handcuffs, I have witnesses of things that happened to me, you know. So what I'm saying is, without public consultation and positive dialogue with the public and coming to consensus, these are what true implementations are not. A bunch of people sit in the room, and then they do implementations that doesn't affect society. Let's take, for instance, officers searching homes with masks on, with no form of identification, and then you have to hope you know an officer, so whenever an injustice is carried out, or the burden is on you, to say, you know, who it is, and, you know, I'm 52? Just saying, there's an abundance of injustices.
Yes.
And so you need public consultation in order to come to conclusions.
Absolutely.
To move forward sensibly.
Thank
you. Know, the new installment, I didn't hear a complaint about anything in 32 years on the
52.
Floor. And I'm not saying this and that about that, but what I'm saying is we have to be real on a street level here. We just can't have status quo people making laws and doing things for themselves.
Paper decisions.
There's no accountability. There's no accountability from you. You cannot identify an officer that is criminal.
Thank you, 52. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's a basic procedural issue. Right? So 52, that's a basic procedural issue. And it boils down to police culture and shifting of police culture. That's a basic, right, procedural issue. And what it reveals is that obviously the thinking of the force is that this is a plantation and that these people have no rights. Not when I, the police, are involved, right? It's a cultural thing. You said a whole lot, 52. Delve into every single piece of it right now. Let's go to the next caller. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. I would like to thank you for your patience, even if you could not hold the line any longer. Here's a text. Good morning, Aaron. Yes, teachers are essential. They should be paid so that they won't protest. Give them what is due to them. Also, if they're going to protest, parents need to be informed, even if by the higher up, so we'll know how to set up ourselves. See, the problem is in protests, right? The problem can be protests.
But the Prime Minister said the problem is protests. You should be protesting.
I don't want to talk about the Prime Minister right in this moment because I may have to say some things that I don't want to say right now. Okay. Let's go back to this, though. It's not about the it's not about the protest.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the administrative crisis that renders the system unable to respond to anything. You think it's a protest? The system couldn't respond to SPRY.
Mm.
They had to shut down the whole school system because of SPRY.
I don't think Behemoths realized that's what happened.
Right? Producer, let's go to the phone line because what that text, it laid it out, right? The message came out at 12:32 that school was supposed to be closing at 1 p.m. on Facebook.
On Facebook.
On Facebook.
You must have your phone on.
It's a damn disgrace that you think that parents are supposed to go to Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
See, because I want you all to think about it conceptually. Come right now, call it. Think about it conceptually. The same parents who telling their children to stay off of Facebook and manage their time properly so they could do well in school, you telling them that they need to be clued into Facebook like that's where the Holy Spirit lives to make sure they get the message when the trumpet blazes. Y'all are creating schizophrenic children because you're not making any sense. That's what I wanted to say, but I didn't want to bring the Prime Minister into that because it would be damning.
Didn't the Ministry of Education create an app to say when school closing, like give reasons? It was an app created.
That was coming years
ago. That was for the COVID. That vaccine, there's an expiry date. Good morning, caller.
Yes, good morning. Good morning to you, Ms. Green, and you, Mr. Newick, Sharon Johnson.
Good morning.
Hey, Ms. Green.
Yes, sir.
I need you to take this, what do you call it, not at all? And then you will solve your toenail problem.
Because I keep jamming it on. I keep bucking it.
Yes, but no, not at all. We know what not at all will do to you. You don't have a heart problem. It's a beta blocker. It will kill you.
Because I wouldn't have a heart problem because I wouldn't have a heart.
Right. But
yes, sir.
This is the problem 52 is saying.
Mm-hmm.
We have prescriptions when we're talking to the patient.
Yeah. Yep.
And so, and that's, it seems to be that everybody has a solution, you're just waiting as soon as they found a problem to apply to. And this is what he may say with the police department. You know, we are a data evasive nation. We don't believe in it. In spite of the fact that we depend on the fact we only use it for what you say, social media,
mm-hmm.
where you go and volunteer data so you could become part of the currency.
Mm-hmm.
Now, but let me touch another point that 52 spoke about. You asked a question, why don't we utilize migration as a tool?
Mm-hmm.
It's because we have no idea what migration is. And this is why we accept almost any and everything. And this is why for decades we've even made arguments against the very documents we sign. Let's use an example. We make the argument that we must school. I hear people scream, oh, you don't want to be in a country that you should school. right, that you don't want to have educated. Well, guess what? The international agreement says that we should provide education for anyone under a particular age. The agreement, which like in the U.S. and other places around, it didn't say that it had to be free. It says that it must be available. It says the same thing concerning health care. We use the expression that, well, you want them in abortion, you want them to be sick and this, whatever. It says that it didn't have to be free. And so the problem is that when you have an environment where you begin to give these things as gifts, as opposed to having it as a privilege, it then becomes one where it's abused. We have no migration policy. You know, you saw the IDB study that says that we have to work on even developing the skill set that we have. Mm-hmm. So, but the question then has to become, how do you develop skill set for something that you have no idea that you actually going to use or do? What is the national development strategy or plan? What is the economies we're going to grow? And so you look for when you have migration or cannot develop on your own to basically invite those individuals in to be part of your community for building. But it seems as if though we're simply trying to get this economy of scale of consumers, but we have done nothing even to embrace those low-end, unskilled individuals to actually put them in a position to create the revenue so they become dependents. You know, take the construction industry. We can't have construction industry without illegals. That's the front page of the newspaper. Mm-hmm. Never heard some crazy stuff like that before. The question is, you know, do you know it takes 7 years to go to a journeyman for to be a plumber, electrician, mason and all those different things, and then you become a master after 12 years or longer? My question is, where do these people get the skill set to determine that they are now masons, this and all these other things? So the question we have is, what buck up goes in this country? And this is the problem even for the unions. The unions, when people go out and improve themselves, and then you say you will pay them just for improving themselves. But guess what? The question we have to also ask, we owe those individuals. We made that agreement. But in the future, we have to ask ourselves, how do they go these skill set? How does it fit into a system? Because you have a whole bunch of people with titles demanding pay, and we have no utilization of the skill set that we have caused them to develop. And so it goes up. And so this, in the ending, doesn't say to you, you know what this is? This is about money. This is about obligations. We ran up bills. You say we wrote checks. We've allowed politicians to write checks with the amount that our bottoms can't cash. And so now we have to pay the piper. But what it does, though, it provides us an opportunity to look at the mistakes we made in the past and then look to say, how do we fix and address this? But this requires own leadership. And that's what we seem to be lacking in the country.
Yes,
thank you,
sir.
So much.
Thank you very much. Producer, let's go to that next caller quickly. Good morning, caller. You still there?
Hello.
Hi, good morning.
Blessing, good morning to you, Miss Green.
Turn your radio down for me, please, sir.
Oh, 1 minute, please.
No problem.
Miss Nuri.
Hello.
Good morning.
And to well.
Good.
One of the things you're speaking about is we must have solutions to our problems. For example, one of the things of spending right now is the while that strike, you would say, by the persons who work at the airport.
Yes.
But here is what we can do. We can say to the striking persons, come in at 3 a.m. From 3 a.m. to 6 p.m., you have the right to strike. For those supervisors who will run the kiosks at the airport, can get passengers ready on board for the flight at 7 p.m.
Okay.
And afterwards, the strikers can strike all day with their signs, walking up on that. And believe it or not, even the visitors will look at them and say, they're striking. They have a right to. and we ought to find that is the solution for what we must do.
Thank you.
And thank you.
Thank you very much. Absolutely. Thank you very much, caller. Mr. Nuri, a great point. If you know that it is, there is a, how do you prepare for that, right? Auxiliary forces. Well, the first is this.
We have auxiliary forces.
Let's look at the the employment culture and work culture, right? Managers are supposed to be able to do whatever it is that the people they're supervising can do. Or have a sufficient sense, right, of what is required to be able to ensure that it is done.
Yes.
Why is it that managers are unable to step in and fill in when protests or strike arises?
A well-run organization has that. I've worked at the Ocean Club at one point in time when the entire hotel, at least the hotel's union, had an industrial action.
Issue, yeah.
Issue. And all of the housekeeping, front desks, et cetera, came off the job, and they protested at the front of the gate, right?
Mm-hmm.
It was a couple of several years ago, at least maybe 20 years ago. And managers and the mid-management stepped in, right? And this is when they had a big mid-management movement, trained, cross-trained mid-managers throughout the hotel.
Mm-hmm.
So you see they had mid-managers making up beds and doing space cleaning. They had mid-management serving food. They had mid-managers, the chefs, in terms of preparing food. They go on a skeleton food now in terms of what was being served. But the hotel responded. I'm not sure if government has yet to reach that point where they know how to respond to an industrial action.
Right.
Right.
Do we have an auxiliary skills bank for essential services like hospital services, right? Where doctors, retired nurses are prepared to step in and provide a basic service to maintain a system when staff is legitimately protesting, but I can take the word legitimate out, when staff is protesting.
That's where PHA is supposed to come in, because they manage that. But I know when the air traffic controllers had an industrial action, the Defense Force officers were called. They called in and they managed the air traffic control, and they had to go in that cross-training and know how to manage that. And they did it for, I think, customs also at one point in time. So I know of doing it.
Mm-hmm.
It being done is
another thing. We have the capacity, but do we have the will? Is it the will, right?
Yeah.
The next thing is the National Youth Guard, right?
We're still not sure what they're doing.
Right, but to what extent can the National Youth Guard be expanded to a National Guard that maintains a skills auxiliary bank where in the most dire situations, like remember, producer, let's prep the caller. We're coming to you right now, caller. Remember when Elutra split in half? Was that Elutra? When the river just ran straight through the island and the people couldn't get across? Right? Like, what happens when a natural catastrophe prevents people from being able to get to work? Put protests aside. Put people's rights aside. And people can't get to work, then what do we do then? Just go to the caller?
Yeah, go to the caller.
Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Ms. Green. Good morning, Mr. Nuri.
Morning, cousin. How you do?
All right, Mom. That National Youth Guard thing that you just mentioned just now, Ms. Green, that's a very interesting topic, because that has more to do with international plans than local. You know what I mean? The reason why you see that is not because of the prime minister or local things. Yeah, that's strictly international things. I don't know if you ever heard about something called Obama Guard. When President Obama was in power, they had something called Obama Guard. And Obama Guard, and what exactly it was all about, and to expect to see these type of programs in your country.
Okay.
You know, the kind of way. And I don't know if you heard, I think they were saying that a couple of weeks or months ago, they was hinting, or the Minister of National Security said he had no problem with those individuals carrying weapons.
Okay.
You know, that kind of way. So they have plans for them, but it ain't our best interest.
All right.
But what I wanted to mention quickly is I agree with my sister who was talking about the better question to ask would be, avoiding these type things, more or less. You know, now, but when you ask if teachers are essential, yes, they are essential. for the building of a proper nation, you know, the nation that you want to have good teachers, you want to have happy teachers, you want to have teachers who love teaching, who feel good about teaching. But mm-hmm. in terms of essential service, the country could run if all the schools closed down. You know what I mean?
Could it?
You know, kind of, it could run. I mean, what I'm trying to say is that...
The schools open and the country ain't running.
Yeah. I'm just trying to say, like, but it's essential, and that's all right. But like I said...
Don't mind me.
One of the things that I think is that when I hear us talk about government, it's almost as if government is our enemy. You know, as if the people who are in government own government.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as if everything that they do is not to benefit the people. You know, that kind of way. Like, we're supposed to see government that the more government earns, the more we earn.
Is the problem our eyes?
I didn't hear you just now.
Is the problem our eyes?
If it's our eyes?
Yeah, is the problem our eyes that we're seeing incorrectly?
No, it's more the way we have been socialized. It's more the way we've been educated, like, more, you know what I mean, like, the traditional-wise. You know, we the people don't really see ourselves as the government.
Mm.
You know, that kind of way. We only partake in government issues when it comes time to vote. You know, other than that, government does whatever it wants, and we have never had real input on what government does. We have no input on the laws that they pass, the legislations that are introduced, none of those things. As mm-hmm. a matter of fact, if you look at the history of government, even though we've been paying all these taxes and different things, there's no law that has been put in place or no legislation has been put in place in 50 years that has really benefited the people. You know, that kind of what I can say has been strictly and solely for the benefit of the people. Nothing. But there's been hundreds and thousands of laws that have been passed since then to benefit private businesses and to further international agendas.
We need to do a judicial review on that. That's an interesting project.
So we the people, Ms. Green, we just need to see government as us. You know, that kind of, and we need to get more involved in it, because it's ridiculous when we have institutions that strike, because when they still suffer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that kind of way. The individuals and government still go about their daily, lives with no interruption. You know what I mean? They have that power and influence that they can still move around the country and do whatever they please, no matter what happens around here. But mm-hmm. whenever the nurses strike or the doctors strike or the teachers strike, it's the public that suffers.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of way. So we, the public, must demand or see to it that our government acts in a manner that does not cause these institutions to strike. But at the same time, we must see to it that the people them are being fair to. But you know what, too, Ms. Green? We need to educate our people differently. You know, the kind of way, like, we need to, like, how Cuba have all those doctors that they could export and different things, right? We need to, our government needs to go on a program where they educate teachers, educate doctors who are strictly government workers, who satisfy with a certain pay and who understand that we are trying to build a nation. And to do that, everyone has to put forth a sacrifice and not necessarily look forward to your own better life and trying to build your own personal wealth, but try to build a better country and to do
build
that.
Build a commonwealth.
Yes, you know what I mean? To do that, everyone satisfies and patriotic type mentality. You understand where I come from? But you know, the government educates you and everything, and you have to serve the government, and you serve the government, and you agree to certain terms and policies. But
absolutely.
Like I said before, we need to make sure our government acts in the best interest of these institutions so that they don't act in a way that negatively impacts the daily lives of the citizens, you know?
Absolutely.
Y'all have a good day. Good show all the time.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much. You know, Nuri, when I heard about Obama God, I thought it was deodorant. Yeah, because they're talking about light protection, heavy duty protection. I thought it was deodorant. I didn't realize it was a thing. Now it makes me think of Kenya. Oh boy, Kenya, what a beautiful place. You guys, we're on the clock. We'll be right back, so please stay tuned. Guardian Radio 96.9 FM.
Just sign in and have a seat, please. They'll call you in for your x-ray shortly.
That's why they call it a waiting room. You won't have that problem at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Groner. We never schedule multiple appointments, so you'll be in and out in no time. And if your initial screening reveals a concern, our radiologist can conduct an alternative screening right then and there. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or Imaging at Grosvenor today.
You're a builder. You want to give your client the best material at the best prices, and you need to put food on the table. Well, check out these prices at Pinder Enterprises. 5/8 pressure-treated roofing ply starting at $36.68 includes VAT. By the way, all these prices include VAT. Gray Select Water Shield, $134.20 a roll. Felt, 15 pounds, $16.50. 30 pounds, $19.80. Owens Corning Duration Shingles, and Certainty Landmark Shingles, $56.56 a bundle. Gallon Roof Cement, $33.47. When it comes to screwing and nailing, Pender got you covered. He got every nail and screw you could possibly need.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become Union Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. That's a classic, ain't you, Ree? That's a classic. Caller, I'm coming to you right now. When I'm done with this caller, I got this headline, Mr. Newry.
I don't like this version, though. My own is, but P. Diddy.
We don't play that.
I like P. Diddy.
We don't play that anymore.
P. Diddy version is a better one.
We don't play that anymore. No.
I just expect him to come and start rapping.
No. In the same way that we don't play like R. Kelly. It'd have to be very, very apropos. We don't play R. Kelly no more.
I like R. Kelly, though. Next thing you say, I can't even watch the Cosby Show no more.
I mean, the Cosby Show.
I can watch that, though.
Once you don't watch Seventh Heaven right after it.
Okay.
Good stuff. Good morning, caller.
I believe I could fly.
There you go. There you go.
boy. Look at that, eh?
I like it. I liked it.
It's a beautiful song. But if you followed any of the documentaries, right?
I know the song.
I gotta go to YouTube.
And you've heard about how some of the songs were made, then you realize that
can't listen to it.
We don't play them on the public airwaves anymore. You could do it in the privacy of your home. Mm-hmm. Make sure your children not there.
Go ahead, Punky.
Two quick points, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The National, what they call the National Guard, established for disaster.
Mm-hmm.
How could disaster, any other disaster?
Administrative crisis disaster?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, administrative, yeah. Mm-hmm. The second one, I don't think teachers should strike because of, you know, based on the United Nations Convention, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or children must have education.
Mm-hmm.
Even the undocumented must have education.
Does that mean the teachers should be enslaved to ensure the children have education?
No, they should not be enslaved, but the government should not be a plantation.
I agree.
So the government got to be careful when they come into power. A lot of things was made, all the union met when this government was adopted, or they met all the unions.
Here's a trick question from the most recent Ministry of Education national exams. Whose desk should be on blocks? The student, the teacher, or the ministers? Yeah.
I think we all have a block to play.
Mm-hmm.
We want the hardest block.
Mm-hmm. There you
have
go.
Have a good day.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Okay, I'm gonna get to this headline, and then I guarantee I'm going to read the rest of the text. No working fire engines leaves farmers to fight blaze. Mr. Newry, where do you think the story is coming from?
It has to be some third world country in India or Africa or some subcontinent type thing.
I thought you was going to say Los Angeles.
Maybe Los Angeles.
We stand with our cousins.
Yeah. I think they ran out of water in Los Angeles, and so they have issues.
I'd call Nestle.
Nestle. The drink?
Chocolate? People who sell water.
Oh.
Yeah. They say, you say they ran out of water. I'd call Nestle. They sell the water.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Where is this story happening anyway?
A relentless six-day fire at Fairfield Farm in Grand Bahama forced its owners to battle. In Grand Bahama forced its owners to battle the flames themselves due to the island's reported lack of operational fire engines. Like if they'd said the settlement. But the island includes Freeport, right?
Yeah.
Freeport's on the island, right?
Freeport is on the island.
Now, you know the saying, only broke people is go to Freeport. Guys go to Grand Bahama.
See, there's a problem with this. If this is Acklands, Miguanup, Eleuthera, any Bimini, any of the family islands, I could understand, you know.
Grand Bahama is
not Grand Bahama is not a family island.
Is it not?
It's a second.
It doesn't have sufficient fire trucks. Is that not for family island?
Yeah, that's true. They're hurting bad. I think Grand Bahama finished.
Did they send a fire truck to Bimini with the Prime Minister to ensure his safety? Or did they? Do they have a working fire truck on the island, the part of Bimini he was on?
I think there's a privately owned fire truck. I'm not sure.
I'm just making sure. I want my Prime Minister
to
be safe.
The people in Bimini happy, though. They don't complain about nothing.
They're decent people.
Yeah.
God-fearing, decent people.
They used to get treated badly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
They're like Long Islanders. They don't even complain about the airport no more. They just say, it is what it is.
Take your vulture.
Yeah.
Fly from Andrus over to Long Island. Okay. Yep, that's the story. You can find that in today's Tribune. No working fire engines leaves farmers to fight blaze in a Grand Bahama. Let's get back to the text line. Good morning, Miss Green and your co-host. Could you tell me what month, what day the sale of that hotel in Grand Bahama? What about the airport? Also, the clock is ticking in Freeport. It ain't long. You better go send fire truck before the hotel burn down too. I don't know the proximity between the hotel and the farm. Good morning, Aaron. Is the casino casinos classified as an essential service? I don't think police, doctors, nurses, teachers should be in a union. The Bahamians are not being treated fairly in this country. No, man. Doctors and nurses should be in a union. Police,
I'm
no.
I'm not sure if doctors should be. Maybe junior doctors, not senior doctors. Right? But you should be able to control your labor. If you don't want to go to work, you shouldn't be able to.
Yeah,
you should be forced.
The Bahamas is a country. You don't want to go to work. You could go home.
Go home.
And I appreciate that. Corinne Mitchell, tell me, listen, when you are on the people job and you don't want to do what it is they require you to do, protect your integrity and go home.
Let me say this quickly.
But no, police shouldn't unionize.
I had a niece who just started her career in the bank. She was like 17, 18. And her supervisor was stressing her out at when she's 17, 18. She's in time, right? Uh-huh. And she said, Uncle Cecil, right? What should I do? Should I put in a 2 weeks notice? Because I'm not happy at this job. And I said, what is your major? She told me her major. I said, does this bank job have anything to do with your major? She said, no. I said, quit. Don't go in tomorrow. You don't owe them nothing. Stop. What can they do? You're 17 years old, 18 years old. You're brilliant. Quit.
Just write them a letter.
You don't even want to write them no letter. Just don't show up no more. You own your labor. You're not a slave. You're a free person. They're not treating you well. You're unhappy there. You have a mental health is at risk. Stop it. Don't go no more.
I would write them a letter and say, listen, I have to leave this job because it's come to my attention that y'all don't know the difference between a biscuit and a cracker.
You could do that too.
I don't know what y'all doing in this break room.
You could do that
But too. It is below my stature. Okay, producer, let's give this caller 30 seconds. Aaron, tell the new COP I have many implementations that can help her erase the substrate of corruption with the band of brothers called the police force. Hold firm, all you good law-abiding officers.
I see she getting instruction from the Prime Minister now. Can you imagine the Commission of Police?
That has to be a typo. That's
to do.
Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You got 30 seconds. Caller, I lost you. I'm so sorry. Now, the tax unions are striking for increased wages and benefits. And the government is trying to balance the budget to ensure funding. Boy, Texter, why you wait so late to send me this text? And the government is trying to balance the budget to ensure funding. I thought you balanced the budget. Anyway, call, I'm sorry, we are all out of time. The producer is playing the music. Our teachers, essential workers, is teaching an essential service. If you think it does, shouldn't policy and infrastructure reflect such? These are the people who take care of your children, their minds, their spirit. Pay them what you owe them. Think I come here to be any slave on a plantation? No, sir. Anyway, that's my uncle, Tony McKay. You guys, have a great day. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Nuri is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.